Hi there, this is Pastor Tim. I'm the minister at Eastside Church. We are a United Methodist congregation in East Atlanta Village. We seek to be creative, historic, and inclusive. And we are thrilled that you found our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our church community, you can visit us at www.eastsideatl.org. So, unintended consequence of doing the right thing and becoming environmentally friendly with our coffee mugs means that I can now bring coffee and set it in my pulpit while I preach. Beautiful. It is a good morning at Eastside. Amen? Well, as it is each Sunday, friends, it is a joy and a privilege to be with you all here in worship. And if you're a guest with us, again, we are really happy you were here and that you chose to be with us this morning. But if you are a guest with us, it may be helpful for you to know a little bit about where we're at in our preaching and teaching journey. We've been following what's called the Revised Common Lectionary. And if you're not familiar with the lectionary, it is a three-year cycle of readings from the scriptures. There are generally two readings from the Old Testament, two readings from the New Testament for each Sunday in a three-year span. And we are over halfway through now, year three of this journey, which is kind of hard to imagine. But each week, there are these two Old Testament readings, these two New Testament readings, and we oftentimes lean heavily into the gospel readings because we tend to really like Jesus around here, and the gospels are the account of his life, death, resurrection, his teachings. But sometimes we'll shift, and this morning we're going to shift to what's called the epistle, and epistle simply means letter. And much of the New Testament, the latter half of the New Testament, are these letters written by this man, the Apostle Paul, to ancient Christian communities. They didn't have email and text messaging and phones like we do today, so one of the primary ways that they would correspond was by writing these long-form letters. And we are really blessed by that reality because that means that we have record of what Paul said to so many of these faith communities, and they still speak to us today. The epistle reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, and most scholars believe that Hebrews was written to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem during a time of great persecution. Not all the Jews in Jerusalem claimed Jesus as the Messiah, and many who did not appreciate those who did, and there was tension between these groups, and Jesus would often divide families. Some would go the way of the Christ, others would go the way of rejecting the Christ, and it would cause great division. And many scholars believe that there was sort of this uprising of persecution that was taking place in this community. So the book of Hebrews is this long-form letter that's seeking to encourage these people, seeking to lift them up, to give them hope that the suffering that they're experiencing in the present will not be the suffering that they will experience forever, but that God has goodness in the future. So friends, without further introduction, I invite you to stand. This section of Paul's letter is about faith. So as I read, I invite you to listen for the word of God. Now faith, it is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old. Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of the heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these, died in faith, without yet having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and they greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Friends, the word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal One, Creator, God, who spoke this world into existence, in this time, may you speak again. I pray that you would speak through these words that I have prepared. I pray that you would speak as necessary in spite of them and in spite of me. And as I preach, God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts collectively in this time would indeed be found right, pleasing, good, and acceptable in your sight. God, our rock, God, our redeemer, God, our savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Remember when, and maybe you can still do this on Facebook, you can set your relationship status. If the word faith had a relationship status next to it, mine would say complicated. I'm sure I'm not alone in the room here. This word faith, it has a wildly varied reception in today's world. For some in the room, it probably brings great comfort and peace. For others in the room, the word faith is probably a trigger, reminding you of toxic theological systems that you may once have been a part of or raised in. You see, growing up, I remember hearing the phrase faith healings. The idea was essentially that if you just had enough faith, you could be made well. Illnesses could miraculously be healed. If you just had faith intently enough in the right direction, your faith could trump science and medicine. I can see now that this paradigm of faith was almost treated by some as wizardry, like a spell from Harry Potter to make magical things happen. In our world today, some hear the word faith and they have great hope and comfort and joy. Others think wands, spells, and magic. Now, I've mentioned this before, but my boys really, really love bedtime stories. Like, really love bedtime stories. Like, if bedtime stories get foregone for a night because it's too late, there are tears. And you know what? We parents, we need tools in our toolkit because there's just a lot going on. So I have what I call starter stories. And one of those main starter stories is Pirate Joe. And he has five knocks on the front door, which is the side of the bed. And then in the story, the kids run to the front of the door, and Pirate Joe says, "Do you want to go on an adventure?" And we go on an adventure in Pirate Joe's flying ship. And don't hear me wrong here. I've made up some pretty rad Pirate Joe stories, okay? And for the lawyers in the room, hear me now. I am copywriting Pirate Joe publicly, so don't steal my idea. They're that good. You wish. But here's the thing. A couple of years into telling Pirate Joe stories, Dad can lose a little bit of his creativity. Which means that sometimes Dad might paint Pirate Joe into a corner without a good way to get him out. We're circled by ferocious dragons, and what do we do now, right? So, I created a character whose job it was to connect my incoherent, lazy storylines to get us out of impossible corners into which we painted ourselves. And his name is, you guessed it, Mango Man. Hang with me here. I bet you wish you'd thought of that. Now, Mango Man was a brilliant move on my part because he is available by cell phone, day or night, to show up at a moment's notice anywhere, and he can create on-the-spot mangoes that give you whatever superpower you need for 1 hour. You need flying powers? He's got a mango for that. You need invincibility powers? He's got a mango for that, too. You need to be able to walk through walls? He's got you. Mango Man has gotten me out of countless dead-end stories. I tell you the truth, my friends. He was a brilliant creation. But sometimes we can envision Christian faith a little bit like Mango Man. If we just have enough faith, then maybe God will get us out of this corner that we've painted ourselves into. But reality is, friends, that's not what the Christian faith is really all about. That's not what Christian faith is all about. It's not to say that God can't do wildly and wonderful things in our world. We are a people who believe in resurrection. It's not to say that God isn't powerful. It's to say that us getting what we want is not the primary reality of Christian faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the examples Paul gives are not, for the most part, of these wildly miraculous events. The examples he gives are of faithful people. Not perfect people. Abraham certainly was not perfect. But he was faithful. We didn't read the entire section, but earlier he mentions Abel, who selflessly gives at the altar to God from the first fruits of his labor. He speaks of Noah, who insanely builds an ark before there's any sign of global warming and a giant flood. And of course, we focused in on Abraham, who at the beckoning of the divine sets out on a journey from his homeland, not knowing where he was going to land, but because God asked him to do it, he did it. In the text this morning, we receive that ever so famous definition of faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The NIV translates it to say confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we don't see. Paul doesn't say faith is a magic wand. He doesn't say it's a mustering up of something inside of us to make something happen in the world. No, faith is this foundational, undergirding understanding of existence, of being, of all that is. It is a lived belief that a good being made this world, that a good God exists and brought reality into existence for good purposes. Life was created to be good, rich, whole, positive, beautiful. In my understanding, faith is this lived assertion that everything that is meant to be and to experience goodness, truth, and beauty. Paul's speaking to a grounding notion, to an orientation, to the fundamental. He's speaking to our relationship with the divine. At the end of the day, he's speaking to the dangerously beautiful notion that we are called to trust. To trust that God is good, that God is with us, that God is love. And friends, we don't do trust well in our world today. Amen? Trust is hard. Amen? Humans hurt one another, and then we begin to distrust one another. And oftentimes what happens is that we take that hurt that we've experienced from other human beings and we project it back onto the Creator. Paul is no stranger to pain. The book of Hebrews is no stranger to our human experience. It was written to a people who were experiencing pain, suffering, loss, and rejection. Paul was beaten over and over for preaching the gospel. He knew what it meant to suffer. He died alone in prison. What's so interesting to me about our reading is what comes right after Paul's definition of faith. He says, by faith, we understand that worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Paul makes an analogy here. He's saying that faith has this pattern. There is the unseen and then there is the seen. There's the unrevealed, and then there is the revealed. God speaks the word, then creation comes into existence. And I've never noticed this before preparing my message this week, but Paul is invoking the creation story right after his definition of faith. In the beginning, God breathing reality into existence, Paul's connecting faith with creation, faith with artistry. I've never thought about faith in terms of art before, but an artist with a blank canvas, they have to have enough faith in the idea that they are bringing into the world to start painting. They have to believe something before they can bring it into the world. It starts in the mind of the artist, then it comes into reality. God had an idea. God began to paint. Only in Genesis 1, God didn't need a brush. God uses words to speak the world into being, and the world is God's canvas. The invisible, that which we cannot yet see, are the good intentions of the Creator, the next great idea God has for us that is yet to be revealed. Paul's saying that God is an infinite number of steps ahead of us always. Friends, faith is a posture. It's a grounding. It's not I kind of hope things turn out okay. It's this baseline conviction that God is an infinite number of steps ahead of us and that God is going to land all of this in a good place. And that is good news that we need to hear this morning. Faith is the lived conviction that even in the midst of terror, abroad and at home, that God, the creator of the universe, is too the redeemer and the sustainer of our universe. God is the artist who, Paul says, even right now in the midst of the terror, has another idea, another iteration that's coming. And that simple hope, the faith that God has a plan, breaks into the way we live our lives here in the present. It changes the way we live. What is faith? It is a grounding trust that the creative force who brought our universe into being has not left us to fend for ourselves. We have not been abandoned. We are not orphaned on this planet. The universe is not empty. It is not dead. What is faith? Living embodied lives as though God is living. God may be a subtle bass note in the background. God may be quiet, but faith is acknowledging that God is here. God is at work. God may be gentle. God may be subtle. We may have to pay attention. You see, friends, God doesn't have an ego like we do, so God can go a very long time undetected. God may be quiet. God may seem invisible, but faith is the assertion that God is here, God is near, Emmanuel, God is with us. It's accepting the claim that we have been making on Atlanta's east side. This is a faith claim, friends, that you are loved. That is a faith claim. Who? You're loved by the Creator. Even if every human on this planet hates you, the Creator loves you. Accepting that claim in your life as an act of faith, you are loved. So just some closing thoughts. Faith calls us to faithfulness, which means that God is always calling all of us to do something. God is always beckoning all of us to something. God never leaves any of us static. God never leaves any of us alone. That nagging feeling that you're supposed to do that thing, that might be the divine at work in you, leading you, calling you, beckoning you, saying, pay attention, I'm talking to you. You're just not listening. I have to say Rowan's name 5 or 6 times before I can get his attention at home. Rowan, 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 Rowan. Why do we think we're any different than 7-year-old kids? the infinite is infinitely in front of us, ahead of us. Faith is listening, it's paying attention, it's then once again paying attention to the notion of what is God asking of us? Because this is a text about calling. God calls Abraham to step out into the unknown. And Paul's lifting Abraham up here on a pedestal as a model for us, saying, and y'all do the same. Don't be afraid of the unknown. Noah built an ark, for Pete's sake. Whatever you want to do with that story, the point is clear. He was willing to do what he was asked. Paul's saying, even before we have all the facts, faith doesn't need all the facts for us to move forward, to move onward, to do the next right thing that God's calling us to. Faith calls us to faithfulness. When I was in seminary, I did an internship at a church near Emory, and some of you have heard this story, but I think it bears repeating on a morning like this. And the focus of my internship was to partner with the associate pastor and to start a new worship service that would reach out to the plethora of young adults who lived in and around that community. And we were about 2 months in, and we always had these Monday morning debriefs. And the night before, it was an evening worship service. I think there was like maybe 10 or 15 people in the service. And again, this is like 2 months in after a ton of work up front trying to get this thing off the ground. And we kind of looked at each other in the eye and said, like, do we need to be doing this or should we just call it quits? And we prayed. And after we prayed, both of us kind of had this word on our minds, just faithful. Just be faithful. Just keep doing what you're doing and just do it. And eventually the service grew and a young adult ministry ended up blossoming out of that for that church. And there was this tremendous amount of beautiful ministry that took place in that season because we prayed and we just said, faithful, that's our word. And we're going to stick with it. And we did. Sometimes that's what faith calls us to do. Just be faithful. Keep on keeping on. For some of you this morning, you just need to hear the word. Just keep trying to be a really good parent. Just be faithful. For some of you in this room this morning who hate your job, but you know that it's where you have to be right now, and it pays the bills so that you can take care of your family, maybe you just need to hear faithful. For some of you, faithfulness is calling you out. It's calling you out of whatever you're in. It's calling you to the next right thing. It's calling you out of your comfort zone. Maybe God is calling you to do something more in ministry. Or some God is saying, you're doing plenty. Just keep doing what you're doing. For some God may be saying, no, you could do more. What's your next right thing? Some of you might be fighting a call to full-time ministry. I will help you fight that call. I'm just kidding. Some of you may simply be fighting God's call for you just to step into the next right thing. Maybe it's a ministry at your church. You have some visitors here. Maybe it's something in your church. Maybe it's something in your community or your neighborhood. Maybe God's calling you to step up in the PTA. I don't know. Listen. Listen for that Bates note. Listen for that still, quiet voice. God's not much of a yeller. At the end of the day, I think one of the biggest opponents to faith and to faithfulness is just our basic human fear. We're wired for fear. It's biological. It's not wrong or bad to be afraid. The problem is when our biological fear overcomes our ability to do what we need to do in life. And this is why Paul roots faith in creation and in new creation. God started things good. He says God's future is going to be really, really good. God's building a whole new world. So now, in the present, you can breathe. You can relax a little bit. And you can step out and do what it is God's asking you. There's always going to be pain, suffering, discomfort in the present, no matter what. Whether you stay put or not, that's still going to be there. You might as well be doing the right thing in the right time in the midst of it. Amen? Faithfulness, friends, it doesn't do away with human suffering and pain, but it does lead to fullness and to wholeness. And faithfulness can bring goodness, truth, and beauty into the world in new ways. Faith grounds us in the goodness of God. Faith grounds us in the firm belief that we are loved. And friends, of people who know that they are loved, they do a whole lot better at loving other people. It's just true. When we truly believe that we are loved, we are so much better at loving others. So he said, may we together be a faith-filled and faithful community of Jesus followers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Amen.
Well, we hope that you've enjoyed this week's message, and we look forward to seeing you soon. If you listen from afar and you would like to support the work that we are doing in East Atlanta and on Atlanta's East Side, you can visit our website, www.eastsideatl.org, and find our giving portal there.